Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come, Lord, tonight and study the word of truth. We rightly divided. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for a platform to share the word of truth right divided. And we pray as those who listen in that they will be encouraged tonight and that they will be edified, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the gospel or the grace of God, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day. We thank you for the gospel according to the scriptures. That is the gospel that we must believe in order to be saved. Now, Lord, we thank you for all the spiritual blessings that we have been blessed with in heavenly places. Now, Lord, we pray right now, when we come away from this lesson tonight, that we as saints in the body of Christ will be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight, we're going to continue on, my brothers and sisters, with our lesson. Life is never hopeless in Christ Jesus. Amen. Life is never hopeless in Christ Jesus, my brothers and sisters. Like I said, there is nothing, my brothers and sisters, there is nothing more depressing than the feeling of hopelessness. A message from God brings no hope unless it is believed. The Bible is God's message to man, but millions of men and women have no real hope because they have not believed the message. Paul was able to assure the sailors, what we've been talking about these past few weeks, Paul on his voyage to Rome and out in the midst of that storm. Paul was able to assure the sailors and all aboard the ship of their survival because he believed God. And that's that if you read that in Acts 27. Listen to his words in Acts 27, 24, 25. Paul says, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer." And look what Paul said, "For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." He didn't say, "I believe in a God." Many people believe in a God, small g, only to live a life of hopelessness. Hope comes from believing God, not from constantly focusing on our circumstances. What if our circumstances lead to our death or never seem to end? Listen to Apostle Paul as he writes from a Roman jail to the church at Philippi. "According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that which all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Philippians 1, 20 through 21. Paul understood that real lasting hopes come from understanding that our circumstances are not meaningless nor purposeless, but purposeful. He said, Romans 5, 3 through 5, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." God has spoken to us through his apostle, Paul. His message is our source of hope in the midst of hopelessness. It provides hope for this life and the life to come. Feeling hopeless, read God's word right divided and trust it. It is a message of hope that can lift the fog of hopelessness. Be alert to spiritual warfare. Depressed people, those in despair, and those feeling hopeless are very vulnerable to Satan's claim that God is not good. Jesus' death on the cross proves God's love for us. It's the only weapon powerful enough to stand against Satan. Satan lies. Romans 5, 6 through 8, "For when we are yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now the book of 1 Corinthians is quite lengthy, 16 chapters to be exact, because the Apostle Paul had to address and correct various problems in the Christian assembly at Corinth. While these saints were secure in Christ and members of the family of God, 1 Corinthians 1:4-9, they were not behaving like who they really were. Rather than living according to God's grace and their new life in Christ, they were relying on their flesh, their own reasoning, human philosophy. In doing so, they were subverting and sabotaging their own spiritual growth. Rather than listening to and believing the doctrine that the Holy Spirit had taught to them through Paul, they had allowed their surrounding pagan Greek culture to influence their thinking and disrupt their Christian service. So much of what we see today, saints began to let what they see happening in the world and what's going on in the world disrupt their Christian service. Verses 12 of 1 Corinthians 15 identify why Paul bothered to mention bodily resurrection in the epistles to Corinth. Why did he spend a whole chapter, 58 verses, on that one topic of bodily resurrection? In Acts chapter 18, he had preached to the Corinthians how that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. These pagan idolaters had believed that gospel message. They received forgiveness of sin. Talking about the Corinthians, they entered into a relationship with the one true God. My brothers and sisters, they got a place reserved for them in heaven and left Satan's kingdom forever. However, after Paul left Corinth, Greek philosophers and had persuaded the Corinthians believers to reject the resurrection. Hence, 1 Corinthians 15:12 inquires, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? Some of the Corinthians were not faithful to the doctrine the Lord had committed to them through Paul, God's apostle of the Gentiles, Romans 11:13. As the Galatians abandoned Paul's mystery doctrine in favor of Moses and legalism, you can see the book of Galatians for that, so the Corinthians had forsaken Paul's mystery doctrine in favor of man and pagan philosophies. You see the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. Go and read that book. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, when Apostle Paul penned the gospel of the grace of God that he preached, he included the phrase, by which also ye are saved. He said, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. This verse is quite a stumbling block to many, and it is such a burdensome verse to most. My brothers and sisters, burdensome verse to most. However, such an expression is not difficult to understand when we study and consider the context. Context, context. Whenever we are tempted to understand a puzzling Bible verse or passage, it is always critical to first examine the context for enlightenment. Think of the human writer of the Pacific Bible book. Notice the audience of the particular Bible book and consider the overall theme of the certain Bible book. Even though we see the foundation of salvation in verses 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians 15, but Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15:2 are often used to deny the once saved, always saved position because it reads, we are saved, and he said, if we keep in memory what Paul preached unto us, unless we have believed in vain. Does that mean we will go to hell if we forget Paul's gospel? Additionally, what does it mean to believe in vain? Let us look at 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Those verses, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and where you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, he said, for I delivered unto you first of all that I which also received, how that Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures. And verse 4, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:2 within its context. The common assumption is that the salvation reference in 1 Corinthians 15:2 is salvation from hell fire and salvation unto eternal life. Is this assumption valid? As we will see, nay, it is not a valid assumption. To repeat, one of Christendom's costliest mistakes is its assumption that there is only one type of salvation taught in Scripture. Whenever the Bible uses the term save or salvation, it is imperative to read the context to see what type of salvation it is. The salvation. My brothers and sisters, the Bible does not only speak of salvation from hell and sin unto eternal life. Now, this false assumption of only one type of salvation in Scripture, coupled with the conditional statement in 1 Corinthians 15:2, ye are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, it only confuses the average Bible reader. Now, the context of 1 Corinthians 15:2 interprets the verses for us, verses 12 through 17. If you go back and read those, they provide insight into the meaning of the mysterious verse 12. Let's read them. 12, Paul said, now if Christ be preached, I'm in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that he is dead, rise not. For if he be dead, rise not. Then is not Christ raised? Verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sin. One of the major problems in Corinth was to deny Jesus Christ's bodily resurrection. Hence, Paul devoted all of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to the doctrine of physical resurrection. The general context of puzzling verse is the heresies and carnality prevailing in the spiritual immature church at Corinth. The immediate context is the denial of bodily resurrection. This is how we should view 1 Corinthians 15:2. The verse is made astonishingly clear. According to the above verses, to believe in vain, 1 Corinthians 15:2 is to believe to no purpose. Stated another way, it is to believe a gospel that is not true. Paul is saying that if Jesus Christ did not resurrect, then it is pointless to believe the gospel of the grace of God that teaches us that he was in fact raised again the third day, verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 15. By clarifying the matter of believing in vain of 1 Corinthians 15:2, the issue of save if you keep in memory becomes astonishingly clear too. Again, verses 12, 14, and 17 of 1 Corinthians 15 explain that to believe in vain, 1 Corinthians 15:2, is to believe to no purpose, is to believe a gospel that is not true. It has nothing to do with not having enough faith, not having the right kind of faith. Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 15:2 that if Jesus Christ never resurrected, then it is pointless to believe the gospel of the grace of God that teaches that he did resurrect bodily. Now, we will proceed to salvation issue. Now, notice that by which also ye are saved. He said, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, portion of 1 Corinthians 15:2, the word save is to be defined according to the context. And verse 19 is very clear. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now the salvation of 1 Corinthians 15:2 is a salvation from misery and hopelessness. 1 Corinthians 15:2 has nothing to do with salvation from sin and hell. Some of the Corinthians failed to remember what the Apostle Paul had preached to them regarding Jesus Christ's bodily resurrection in verse 12. They erred in this regard, probably influenced by the pagan mythology, the culture of the Corinth, that denied bodily resurrection. These Corinthians had not kept in memory what Paul preached unto them, so they believed in vain. By abandoning the doctrine of bodily resurrection, the Corinthians were setting themselves up for disappointment. If we fail to keep foremost in our minds, listen tonight, Jesus Christ's literal, physical, visible resurrection, then we will not be saved from despair and misery on a daily basis. Physical, visible resurrection we would not be saved from the despair and misery. If he did not resurrect, then we have no hope of seeing our deceased Christian loved ones. Verse 18, all of our ministry work, such as preaching and teaching, would be for nothing. And all of our believing would also be pointless. Verses 14 and 17 of 1 Corinthians 15. In short, without the reality of bodily resurrection, our Christian service would be a waste of time. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. However, by constantly reminding ourselves of the reality of Jesus Christ's bodily resurrection, we are saved from all that misery listed above. We do not simply have hope in Christ now in this present life, but we have hope in Christ after death, because we will be bodily resurrected just like Jesus Christ was. Read verses 20 through 23, verses 35 through 38 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now this mentality saves us from despair that results from denying bodily resurrection. Verse 58, the concluding verse of the Apostle Paul, exhausted resurrection chapter, it summarizes, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our Christian service, that is, Jesus Christ living his life in and through us, is not in vain, but we will be resurrected bodily to receive a reward, enabling us to function in the heavenly places forever for God's glory. Go and read 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15, my brothers and sisters, talking about labor and talking about the foundation Paul talks about. But 2 Corinthians 9, 5, 9 through 10, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. My brothers and sisters, Colossians 3, 23 through 25 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of person. My brothers and sisters, what a powerful message from the pen of the Holy Spirit himself. If resurrection is untrue, then Christ did not resurrect. If Christ did not resurrect, then Paul preaching Christ's resurrection as true is empty, worthless, and pointless. If Paul preaching was pointless, then the Corinthians believing that message was also purposeless. If Paul preaching was nothing more than a false message, then it made Paul a liar. If Christ did not resurrect, then the Corinthian faith was meaningless. If Christ did not resurrect, then we're still dead in our sins. After all, Romans 4:25 says, Christ's resurrection serves as a receipt that he paid our sin debt, my brothers and sisters, in full. If resurrection is fiction, then Christ did not resurrect. If Christ did not resurrect, then we would never be resurrected either. If that were the case, then those who died in Christ are literally lost to us forever, never to be seen again. If there is no resurrection, then the Christian life is actually experienced for nothing. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. No matter what sufferings of this present time may come our way, no matter how difficult the circumstances are in life, because he lives, all fear is gone. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. My brothers and sisters, I know he holds the future. He's Alpha and Omega. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Somebody said, that's a song. Now somebody said, you're singing a song, preacher. Life is worth living here and now just because Jesus live. And the good news is that he lives in us. Now, Paul knew that life is never hopeless, never truly hopeless. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. The expression this life is our earthly life right now. If only on earth we have hope, death being the end and resurrection never happening, we would truly be miserable. Here we have lost family relationships for Christ. We lost friends to follow Christ. We were called names and were unfairly criticized. We may have lost our job for standing up for Christ. Perhaps we were tortured, imprisoned, or killed for its sake. We spent countless years studying the Bible, praying, preaching the gospel, teaching the Bible, passing out gospel tracts, traveling abroad, going to conferences, and starting local churches, and on. We would be the most miserable people in all the world. After everything we did for Christ, it would amount to nothing. To keep working in Christian service, not pursuing a carefree, materialistic life like the rest of the world, knowing we would die for nothing, and all that work would amount to nothing. Without the resurrection, our earthly lives would be a total waste of time. There would be no eternal life after all. The Christian life is all about the life of Jesus Christ being manifested in our mortal flesh. There is such joy, peace, hope, love, and fulfillment in Christ. Whatever you're going through tonight, my brothers and sisters, however, when death comes, that earthly life is over. Death would take it all away. If there was no resurrection, we would be the most miserable of all people. We would stay dead. Our Christian experience will only last as long as we live on earth. Rejoice, my brothers and sisters. Rejoice, friend. Be not most miserable. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord, because physical death does not end our Christian service. Our earthly Christian sojourn will end one day. All of our earthly ministries will cease. Still, there is in heaven waiting for us a reward. A resurrected body, a reunion with the saints of the ages, and for those who have lost loved ones tonight, a reunion with the saints, a reunion with all the brothers and sisters who have died in Christ. We will talk again with those departed brothers and sisters, all our work together in eternity to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. The strongest impact Jesus' life brings is certainty or assurance. The question of salvation weighs heavy on the hearts of many people. Uncertainty and doubt plague their souls. They wonder, have I done enough or have I been good enough? The answer to both questions is no, but Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection. He done it all at Calvary's cross. Now here are the facts. Since Christ was raised, he cannot die again. Paul put it this way, death no longer has mastery over him. Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, he died no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Because he lives forever, every believer will live forever. We are not hopeless in this life. Not only does his eternal life anchor us in assurance, he gives us a new way to live. Sin and death can no longer have their way with us. That old self was crucified with Christ, dead and buried. Because he lives, we can count ourselves dead to sin and full alive to God. No longer mastered by sin, but living through the power of grace. The Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And finally, because he lives, we no longer live under a blanket of condemnation. We have been set free from the law of sin and death once and for all by the law of the Spirit of life. We can face tomorrow with confidence and hope, knowing that he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who lives in you. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit dwelleth in you. Assurance of freedom and hope are yours tonight just because he lives. The enemy wants to place in your mind that you are hopeless, but take the word hopeless and be encouraged, knowing that no matter how hopeless a situation may appear or seem, we are not hopeless. The Satan wants us to look at it as hopeless, but I'm going to look at it from God's perspective. As I close tonight, I'm going to take that H in hopeless and let you know that you are heirs. You are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. How you know that? Romans 8:17 said, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. I'm going to let you know, you take that H of hopeless that Satan wants you to stand on and look at holy. You are holy tonight. Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Satan wants you to look at that O and think we don't have no open access to God and hopeless. But I want to tell you, take that O tonight for hopeless and look at obtained. He obtained salvation from God's, he obtained our salvation from God's wrath by our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And then take that old tonight and use that word our. Our, know that our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:2. Now you take that P that Satan wants you to stand on for hopelessness and look at persuaded. Are you full persuaded that he will never leave you nor forsake you? Romans 4:21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Are you fully persuaded that his grace is sufficient for all our needs? Take that P of that hopelessness and look at preserved. You're preserved unto the Lord's heavenly kingdom. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory ever and ever. Amen. You take that E that Satan wants you to look at in hopelessness and know eternal. Eternal, we have eternal life. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, he promised before the world began. My brothers and sisters, you take that E, that first E I'm talking about, that Satan wants you to look at hopeless and know everything. Jesus Christ is our everything we need is in our Lord and Savior. You take the L tonight to know that you're loved. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. And know that he lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us because he lives. We can face whatever challenge or circumstance that may come our way. Now you take that other E, my brothers and sisters. Everlasting. We have everlasting consolation through grace. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. You take that E for encouragement, enlightenment, and edification that come from his word. You take that S for sanctified. We have been set aside for his use. We are his ambassadors. God wants us for himself as a sacred possession, his very own in a special sacred way. We have already been sanctified or consecrated to God. God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And that last S that Satan wants us to focus on, of hopeless, our Savior, he has saved us from the penalty of sin by his finished work at Calvary's cross. We have eternal life. He's saved. We are saved by Christ's life. Romans 5:10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Ephesians 2:8, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Know tonight that you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you believe. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We are not hopeless, my brothers and sisters. You can take what Satan want to throw at you with that word hopeless, and you just identified all those special spiritual blessings that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just spelled out a few for you. You can take it and you can twist it back on Satan and say, Satan, no, we're not hopeless because this is what we have in Christ Jesus. We thank God for his word tonight. We thank God for his word. For those who are going through, just know you're not hopeless tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. And we pray as those who listen in, that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened, and that they were edified. And those who don't know you, who are not saved, we pray that they hear the gospel of their salvation right now, and that is that you died, buried, and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. We pray that they hear those words and believe the gospel of their salvation and receive eternal life. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters.